we do the thing?
Yes, I think we'd better had.
Let's do the thing. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yay, the thing.
Buckle up for the sex. Why? Because it is the Apropos of Nothing podcast. And your hosts...
With your hosts.
...are Salsa...
James...
...and Jenna.
And so...
That was chill.
...we will do that.
Salsa's getting his rod serling on.
Today, in the night gallery.
I hesitate to say, getting his rod on.
Please hesitate to say that. Mm-hmm. don't hate your hesitation.
Do not, just on hesitate. The other hand, hesitate to tell me what you are drinking.
Oh, I am drinking a Dr. Pepper.
What is
with
nice.
Amaretto. And it is incredible.
Ooh, awesome. Yeah. I'm having...
It's no Dr. Tiki, but it's getting there.
Dr. Tiki.
I really wish my wife liked almonds, because I would make a lot more stuff with that flavor.
Amaretto?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm having a scotch and soda.
Is it a good scotch,
a
or is it a mix and scotch?
It's a mix and scotch.
Good.
Is it a good soda or a mix and soda?
It's a club soda.
I picture if you say scotch and soda, like, CD of Scotchbringer somewhere is like, what?
Yeah.
No,
this is an okay scotch.
Is that like okay soda?
Well, as has been noted, you have to be a part of the club to drink the soda, so it's exclusive.
Oh. Okay.
Or eat the sandwiches.
That's also true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or have a penguin.
I actually did Club Penguin for a while. It's when, like, you know, 10 years ago when Jessa was into it, and I was like, all right, I'll be a mom and come play with you.
Like,
I remember playing some games, and I had a scarf that I liked. That's nice. What I remember about Club Penguin. Also looks confused. Do you
it's
not
because
know
because I'm
Club
fucking
Penguin
confused.
Well, you didn't say anything. You just made facial expressions at us.
Yeah, huh? That's Salsa.
Because you were talking and
Club
I didn't
Penguin
want to interrupt.
Club Penguin was a kids' gaming world platform thing where you got to be like little penguins that like interacted mm-hmm. with each other and had chats and things like that.
Oh, okay.
But then you could also play games together. It was I think it was Nickelodeon put that together.
Like a Nickelodeon MMORPG?
That makes sense. Kind of. I'm trying to think of a good...
Like a Nickelodeon Second Life?
Sort of. Not nearly as open to doing everything.
Family-friendly version.
Yeah, were you aware of...
I was never in Second Life, so I don't know
no.
what that's like.
Were you aware of Neopets?
I'm aware that something existed called a Neopet.
Okay. It's... I know people who love Neopets. Either past tense or present tense.
But basically, if you've ever played a game that has, like, a lobby area
mm-hmm.
before you go off on your missions...
Okay.
Like, that would be multiplayer.
Like, sounds like a lot of MMOs that I've played, sort of.
Yeah, so it's like you've got a lobby area, but the lobby area is bigger and more of the world.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do more things in the lobby area, but then there's other games you can just do inside
yeah.
of it.
Okay.
So.
I am drinking Lewis and Clark Brewing's Prickly Pear Ale.
Ooh!
A pale ale brewed with real prickly pear cactus.
Ooh!
That sounds delightful.
So
yeah, I want
to
know.
You'll have to let us know if it is, in fact, the quenchiest.
I never claimed it was.
You did not.
No, that is correct.
That's a reference to Avatar.
Uh-huh.
Is
it good?
Good.
Is it quenchy?
Yes.
Okay.
Perhaps
the quenchiest. Quartz also is being left out of everything right now, James. We should include him in something.
No, don't bother.
Salsa hates being included. He doesn't like people.
It's not that I don't like people. It's just I don't really care about anything you're talking about.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean. Okay. Well, you know what? I tried. All right. Now I'm giving up. Look, this is why I'm not nice to you guys. Because every time I am, you're like...
Oh, no. Whatever. Don't get me wrong, Jenna. This is not aimed at you.
Oh,
this is definitely aimed at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Still, I'm done being nice.
Salsa doesn't like you, but he does respect you. I get neither of those.
How's everybody's week been?
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't complain.
I got a new job.
That's good.
Yeah.
The thing we were talking about last week. It's not quite the same thing we were talking about last week. They were unable to bump me to the position that they wanted me at, but there have been negotiations and conversations around it, and I have accepted. So,
nice.
Instead of doing tech ops, I will be doing business ops, which is a lot less messing around with databases and a lot more messing around with data. So, the way I explained it to Joe is that I was basically going to be Ben Wyatt, but with less firing people.
Oh, and no Ice Town.
No Ice Town.
Yeah. It was a Club Penguin thing.
I didn't. You both talked at the same time, and I didn't hear you.
Pick me. Have you not watched Parks and Rec?
Oh, like 2 episodes. Couldn't get into it.
Okay.
I know for a lot of people, like, they had a hard time with the first season. And some people, it's just not their style overall, but it is a fantastic show. Joe was having problems getting into it when we started watching, and then he started to.
Yeah.
Once more of the character arcs and stuff developed, but yeah.
Okay.
Joe is Ron Swanson, mixed with some Andy Dwyer.
Yeah, and that's. And some Tom.
A little bit of Tom, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smattering of Ben Wyatt for good measure. But yeah, like, basically, like, he's 3/5 Ron Swanson. Like, doesn't want the government on his lawn, doesn't want anybody to know where he is, doesn't like people. Feels like, I think there's a specific, loves meat, loves cooking meat. Mm-hmm. Big fan of the meat. So, yeah.
3/5 Ron Swanson is my They Might Be Giants cover band.
Oh, good call.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, yeah, but anyway, basically I'm Ben Wyatt from that show that Salsa hasn't seen. So, yeah. It'll be good to exercise a bit more of the program management skills. I will get to work with portfolios, like straight up portfolios for the first time, which will be very exciting. It involves a lot more spreadsheets, you guys, which
makes
I
you
know
all the happy.
I'm so happy. I get so many spreadsheets. It's the dumbest thing ever, and yet. Yeah. Also, new boss, like, when I asked him a few questions and we started talking about spreadsheets, and, like, we just had a 10-minute nerdy conversation about spreadsheets. I don't think that's what landed... Well, that may have gotten me the job, but what totally solidified it was the one question I asked How do you validate whether or not you have a good data source? And he went, that is the best question ever. And I was like, cool, so how do you do it? Because I want you to have the best answer ever so that we can make all of this work. And he did, and it was great. So.
Excellent.
I feel like that should be your, like, what's the when a character says something, your catchphrase. That should be your catchphrase. When in doubt, start a new spreadsheet.
Maybe. Something I'm having like difficulty imagining Jenna like Kramer sliding into the apartment and being like, hey, Jerry, am I starting a new spreadsheet?
Why you gotta go straight to Kramer? There's a level between Zero and Kramer, James. You don't have to go straight to Kramer.
Never go full Kramer.
On a scale of 1 to salsa...
Never go full salsa.
No. Also that.
No, not even salsa should go full salsa.
No, Raider Lee is there to... protect the world from salsa going full salsa.
This is accurate. Otherwise, I've started watching Stargate with Joe.
Oh, wow.
How's that?
Huh?
How's that?
It's good. It's a little hokey right now.
Yes.
Like, we watched the movie and I went, well, that was cute. And we started watching SG-1 season 1 and I was like, did they really just oh god. And like, I thought about James and Kyle throughout various points of the first season, but as promised, about halfway through they start developing things and it starts to get better, and they did. So we've basically just discovered Catherine's old fling, ex-fiance, who is in the castle with all of the information, and so now we know about different aliens. Yep. So that's where I'm at. And apparently after this season, there are 9 other seasons of SG-1. There's 5 seasons of Atlantis. There's 2 seasons of Universe, I think it was.
Yep.
And a
very different from Steven Universe.
Way different than Steven Universe. So there's a lot of Stargate for me to get through.
Yeah.
This is the show that introduced the world of Jason Momoa, correct?
It is.
Okay.
Is it really?
He almost lost that part, too.
Oh?
Yes, because he was so excited that he got the role, he went and blew his first paycheck on getting his forearm tattooed with tribal Maori. Or, not with Maori. Polynesian tattoos. For some reason, that was in a different place. I think it's because Bryn's doing a Maori knitting thing.
So he went and got a whole bunch of tattoos, and they went,
And they were like, what are you doing? Because this was also before the tattoo makeup was widely available and affordable. And they were like, we have to...
cover this up now.
Cover this up or something. And they were like, yeah, but there's going to be so much, and we'd like having excuses to... have him wearing very little, and this is what are we gonna do? And someone was like, "Oh, we'll just write it in." So they write it into the Stargate universe canon that his character has a sleeve of tattoos. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but he almost he almost did himself in. Yeah.
When somebody hires you, don't change anything about your body until you're told what they want. Like, that's usually...
Yeah.
Or have a conversation with them first.
Yeah,
about,
I mean, I wouldn't get cast in a role and immediately dye my hair blue. Like, that just seems like a poor idea.
Yep.
Well.
Well, I mean, that was what ended Jennifer Grey's career.
Who's that and what?
She was a baby in Dirty Dancing, and she was Ferris Bueller's sister.
Okay.
And she had that really prominent, very recognizable nose.
She got rhinoplasty and then never got hired again?
Yeah.
Yep.
Once she became famous, she was like, I've got money to spend on. I don't like about my nose. And everyone was like, that was the thing that we liked. That was what made you recognizable. And sadly, that meant that she didn't get work anymore.
Yeah, but if it bothered her that much, then clearly it made her happy.
Oh, yeah.
So. Oh, well.
I hope so.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if I had money to spare, there are possibly things that I would do that I am unhappy about with my body.
Same.
Right. It's and
James,
if,
you if also don't like things about Jenna's body?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Seriously, James, that was uncalled for.
Rude.
Oh, I love you both so much. Jesus.
High five. Okay.
So there was that.
For us, not for the listeners.
Yep.
So anyway, I am enjoying Stargate. It's not that I was ever like, oh, like, because people are like, oh my god, it took you this long to watch it. I'm like, I never made time.
Yeah.
I was always out every evening doing things and like,
having
I don't know,
life
like,
and shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, and that's not to say that people that watch TV don't have lives. It's just not what I was focusing my attention on.
It's not to say that people who watch TV don't have lives. It's to say that people who watch Stargate don't.
I mean, let's be real. There's 15 seasons and 3 movies. So,
oh shit.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
That is a lot.
Joe found a place where you can find out how much time an entire series would take.
Uh-huh.
And I believe Stargate, including like all the movies and everything, was like 19 hours compared to The Simpsons, which was 12. Like, well, because they're longer episodes. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a lot. It is a lot. And that was the thing. Like, once I understood the depth of what was happening, I'm like, so how much of this are we going to watch, Joe? He's like, well, we're going to watch it until we get done or until the pandemic's over. I'm like,
oh, fuck.
Right. So this is my life now.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, yeah. Right.
I hope you like it.
I like it.
Good.
We also rewatched. Oh, that was the thing. Before we started all the Stargate stuff, Joe made me watch The Mist.
Oh, okay.
And it is incredibly well done, and I hate it.
Yeah, sure.
I was so angry at the end of it, because of how well done it was. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. It is an amazing work of art. I hate it. I never want to watch it again.
Nice.
It's one of those.
Yeah.
What is it?
What
is it?
It's a TV show.
It's a movie based on a, I believe, Stephen King book or a novella or something like that.
I was thinking of a blog.
Yeah, no, it is horror from the 80s, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was Lynch, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Lynch. It's like
Jesus,
one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was really good. It's a really good horror. Basically, there's a mist that comes in off of the mountains in this like small town thing. Blah blah blah. And then there are things inside of the mist that start killing people.
Ah, okay.
Basic premise.
Sure.
But yeah, that's, you learn all of that in about the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Of the movie. So, mm-hmm. And the rest of it is commentary on humanity. Mm-hmm. Is basically what it is.
Oof.
Really well done.
Sounds like Stephen King to me.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Remembering the movie now, it it reminds me of an particular episode of Gravity Falls. The one with the mansion.
It's not ringing a bell, and I've seen Gravity Falls 3 times through now.
Okay. The Northwest's mansion. That's okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yep.
Cool.
Anyway. Yeah. That's... Oh, also I'm on PTO right now.
Which that's is exciting. Weird.
Yeah, because I'm going nowhere. Like, I spent an extra day at Joe's, came back home a few hours ago so that I could do this thing. Now, I know I could do it at Joe's, but, like...
But Joe is there.
Right. Like, you know. Or he would have tiptoed around me trying not to butt into the podcast.
He would have tiptoed around very purposefully trying, quote, not, unquote, to butt into the podcast.
Yeah, I could see him trying to fuck with you guys. But yeah, so I came back home to do that, get some stuff done. Tomorrow I'm going to the DMV.
Woo!
I tried to renew my tabs online.
Crazy party with you.
I know. I tried to renew my tabs online and it didn't work.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go in. And then my driver's license has actually had the wrong name on it for the past 10 years.
Yep.
Oh.
So when I got married, my maiden name is Jennifer Marie Zoller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My married name is Jennifer Zoller Young.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My driver's license says Jennifer Marie Young.
Mm-mm.
And this will be my either second or third attempt. I don't remember if I actually followed through on the second attempt, but either my second or third attempt to get this corrected on my driver's license. Social Security says that I'm Zoller Young.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I should try to match that.
Yeah.
My marriage certificate and my divorce decree say that I am Jennifer Zoller Young.
I guess if you're into that sort of thing.
Is a good idea.
I'm just, like, if I ever want to fly on a plane, they really want all of your stuff to line up.
Yeah.
Well, also they're asking for, well, I mean, I don't know what they're asking for now, but before all of this happened, they were asking for the brand new, like, extra special, very shiny federal smart ID licenses.
Yeah.
If you were gonna fly, and they were warning.
Well, not the other thing. I need one of the fancy new IDs anyway. So
yeah. Same.
May as well get it all taken care of as long as I'm gonna go down there. But I figure if I go down mid morning on a Tuesday, it'll be relatively empty and safe.
That's a good idea.
I go to the AAA location in St. Louis Park.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is very clean. It's a very suburban DMV. So, like, it's nice. They've got a little shopping area right next to it, so you can still listen for your numbers and stuff. The chairs are cushier. It's not just the plastic, but they got a little bit of bump to it. Yeah, yeah. I am a DMV connoisseur, gentlemen.
Mm.
So.
The DMV that I went to most recently didn't even have any chairs.
Mm.
It was the upstairs of a Sears.
Was that one in St. Paul?
That is the one in St. Paul.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been to that one a few times.
Well, and what's bizarre, like, there is a DMV literally a block away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather go to the St. Louis Park one. But then I'll go to that. I'll drive around the lakes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Get some time, take some pretty pictures. And then I'm going to take my car into the shop. The same shop, James. because it needs an oil change. It was sitting still for a few months. And apparently James discovered that it has a nest in it, and I don't want to take care of that, so...
not as bad as the other nest.
No, you want to talk about that? That's way more of an adventure.
Sure. So, Bryn's car has been sitting for a little more than 6 months, and we decided it was about time to make that happen. Get it moving, check it out, all of that stuff. The difficulty was that it didn't want to start. The last time she had started it, she didn't let it run for 15 minutes. Not a huge deal. You know, no blame. Whatever. This was like 2 months in to everything. It worked. And she was like, all right, everything's working. She hopped out. A month later, we went back and battery's dead, doesn't start, you know. So then we go through a little bit of agony and almost get it started, but not quite. And then Jenna helped us to get it jump started, because my car jump starting Bryn's Kia is a little bit like a Chihuahua trying to mate with a Greyhound. it started, and then we discovered that it 100% could not move. The brakes had frozen shut.
Yep.
So, it ended up getting towed to a local shop that Jenna recommended. Thank you, Jenna. And is now ready for pickup. Is apparently working. And that's only $800 later.
Oh.
How
much work did they have to do? Did they have to replace like all of the brakes, or
they did a full brake system on it, like brake system flush, and they did brakes and pads and the e-brake cable. And
$800 actually isn't that bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Well, and it also included a couple of other like light duty things, like the oil change, the transmission flush, that kind of stuff. So
that's a pretty good price, actually.
Yeah, it is a very good price. When she told me, I was like, that is do that. That seems good. In the process of attempting that, Bryn and I were sitting in the open hatch in the back of her car, and found out she stepped away from it for a moment, and then verbally coaxed me away from sitting there. And
James, come here now, James. James, come here. And James was like, what are we doing? Yeah. He's like, no, come here now. Come here. Here, James. Here.
Yeah.
Here, James. Here.
Here, so, boy. Here, boy. Over here. Come here. Come here, boy.
A little bit. It was more like that very intent mom.
No, I know, but look at James. I think it would be more effective to do it my way.
Maybe. But
especially if you were Bryn.
When I heard the concern in her voice, I didn't want to move too quickly because, you might startle something. It turned out that wasps had set up a nest about the size of my fist inside the overhang of the hatch, just above the seal. Not a place where water could get in at it easily, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good place to set up a nest.
Ideal place for,
truly. And, so we decided that it had to be removed because we didn't want it to end up in the shop. And, you know, somebody being surprised by that. And, So for the lack of a hose or a squirt gun or, you know, anything else, I ended up going after it with an umbrella and a bottle of Windex. which worked.
So you went like my big fat Greek wedding on it?
I just like very cautiously moved the wasps away from the nest as much as possible, trying not to drown them, but just to stun them. And then knocked the empty nest out onto the ground and smushed it. Yeah, and then we waited for, 20 minutes, a half hour, something like that. Well, we were still waiting for the tow, which was a different thing.
Right.
Jesus. Yeah, which was a different thing. We just sat inside my car with the windows up and waited for the wasps to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There have been a lot fewer wasps in the yard since then. I haven't noticed any. So
that is great news.
There, yeah. There have been many previous to that encounter. So
yeah. Well, there you go. But the nest in Jenna's car is just like a squirrel confabulation. It's just made out of branches and leaves and things like that that have been squirreled in there.
Yeah.
And I did my best to remove the bulk of it, but there was so much more. So yeah, taking it into a shop is a great plan.
Yeah. Well, I should have done it like a month or so ago, but meh. Time now.
Yep. They're going to find Jimmy Hoffa in there.
Oh, God.
Well, I went to the zoo this weekend.
Nice.
And I saw red pandas.
Oh.
I know you did.
And I sent pictures of red pandas to Jenna.
Oh, good. All right.
So the Minnesota Zoo is doing a thing where you can kind of reserve a time slot. So that mm-hmm. they have a limited number of people moving through the zoo at a regular interval.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So X number through the gate at 9, X number through at 9:30, X number through at 10, X number through at 10:30. And we've done this a couple times, and the zoo does a pretty good job of it, actually, you know, of keeping things. They've got the whole place one way.
In his hand?
So you go in and you're like, you can go this way or this way, but once you're on that path, it's a one-way path. And so there's fewer people there, and they're kind of metered throughout, and all of the staff are really, really, really good at making sure that, you know, the people are wearing their masks inside and out, and that they're, you know, keeping things clean and stuff like that. So it's they're doing a really good job there, honestly.
Excellent.
So we went to the zoo and we saw the animals, and like I said, we saw the red panda and a bunch of other critters all over the place. We got to the grizzly bear enclosure, and the grizzly bear was in the pond right up against the glass. And so it was like inches away from your face is this face of a grizzly bear, which is as big as my torso, just inches away from you. You're just like, Jesus fucking Christ. I'm glad there's 3 inches of glass between us right now, because goddamn. The zoo is doing good, and I don't know if I mentioned this the last time we went to the zoo, but they have like updated. I don't want to say redone, but like half of the tiger enclosure they've redecorated, and it looks really nice. It's got kind of a waterfall and like a rock formation, and then there's a giant tiger statue carved out of the rock. It's really cool.
Oh,
It looks really, really nice.
I mean, taking this time as an opportunity to do that kind of stuff seems...
Mm-hmm. Well, they had already started before this all happened. Oh. You know, this has been in the works for a while, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah, the timing for opening it, you know, was pretty ripe. So, but yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's so well done, because like you're walking along the path and you don't even realize it's there, but if you kind of walk down this little like side path, you go on the other side of the rock, and then you just realize that the rock is a big tiger. It's pretty cool.
Yes, yeah, that's awesome. Very cool.
But yeah, no, it's was fun to just get out and, you know, let the kids see some critters, you know, teach them some fun facts about animals and, you know, get them out of the house. I recommend it. I really do. Go to the Minnesota Zoo. Get yourself a ticket.
All right.
You gotta go online and reserve a spot. But
yeah, of course.
This makes sense. So,
well, should we take a break?
I'm out of booze.
All right, sounds like a great time to me. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back in a little bit.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Well, and we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And this weekend was the opening weekend of the season that wasn't at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Which means all three of us usually would have been taking this portion of the show to bitch and complain about how hot it was and how frustrating the drunk patrons were, but at the same time how elated we were at all of the awesome stuff that happened. But we're not going to do that, because we can't do that. So instead we're going to talk about the things that we didn't get to do.
I mean, okay, so I have two jobs at the Renaissance Festival, right? Like, I am a street performer and I'm the assistant campground director. And so, like, normally, beginning of the run, I'm helping with, like, getting tent stuff set up, like, working with campground and figuring out who goes where and if we have any passes ready. Getting stickers on passes and, you know, all of that campground administrative stuff. So my fest season kind of starts the first weekend of August usually. That said, I do still throughout the run do more administrative-y stuff for the campground.
So out of curiosity, do you then help Jacques decide who gets a spot where, or does Jacques pretty much take care of that, or okay?
Nope. I do dick all with that.
Okay.
That is not my response. He makes the decisions. I write things down.
Oh, okay.
Is basically what it is. I don't... I do not make any decisions. I follow things that have been laid out. So I'm doing things like... if I'm giving somebody a campground sticker on their pass, it means that they have already been assigned a spot and they are in the computer and I can look them up and be like, yes, you go here. You exist in the world. Right. Jacques has approved you. Your superior has approved you. Mm-hmm. I can now give you a sticker. But I don't do any of that other overhead.
Okay.
I maintain the system.
I'm sensing a theme.
I don't make decisions. If you come to me with a problem, a thing that you want, like, hey, the electric has gone out, I will say, darn, that sure does suck. I can let Jacques know when he gets back, or you can try to figure it out yourself. I don't do any of that.
Yeah, okay.
I I clean the showers. I do administrative stuff. The one thing that I can very specifically help with, though, is if somebody has a safety concern in the campground, they can always come to me. There are some people, women might feel more comfortable coming to me rather than Jacques. So yeah, if there's a safety concern in the campground and you don't feel comfortable going to Jacques, I am always willing to be that intermediary, but I won't make decisions.
Sure.
So yeah, it's great. I don't have to be in charge of anything. I just help things go. Have I told you guys that I just don't make decisions
for that sounds refreshing.
Yeah.
It's quite lovely, actually. People are like, oh my god, why would you do that? You have to clean the campground showers once a day and you're just doing this menial blah 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 maintenance stuff. I'm like, yes, and it's lovely. Do you know what my day job is? Oh my god, this is glorious. I can just make things happen.
It's like being in charge of farming in Terraria.
Stardew Valley, but yeah.
Stardew Valley, yeah.
That is exactly what I do. Yep. No decisions.
Abdicating the throne.
Oh, God. So yeah, normally I would have, probably Friday night, I would have taken at least a half day off of work and gotten to the site early. And work with Jacques on any pre-setup stuff that we could get accomplished. And then office hours are at 6 o'clock. If I remember right, 6 or 7, somewhere in there. And then we just would have been on. Opening Friday night is just, we are dealing with people come to us like, oh god, I want a campground spot. So Jacques has to leave, which means I'm now in charge of making sure that people get stickers on their passes or parking passes for their whatever, or, you know, dealing with this other thing. And then Jacques comes back and somebody else wants a campground spot. And we're just working together to try to make everything go as much as possible on a Friday night. And so that's what I do until 10 o'clock. And then I pretty much pass the fuck out after that. And then on Saturdays, I get done at 7 for my street stuff. Well, no. For street, I work street until about 12:30. Then I go down to the campground to clean the showers. I'm usually back up by 1:30, 2 o'clock. Depending on what critters I need to chase out of the shower on any given day. And how much I actively wanted to do that.
Salsa and I are, of course. Frog. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're laughing because of the epic legend of the pervert frog.
Oh, pervert frog.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so
somebody
then
needs
I'm
to
back
write the ballad of the pervert frog.
Ooh.
But the thing about doing the showers is that I get out of my costume and into something that I don't mind if it's bleached. Because cleaning the campground showers is not a precise job. It is a hose it the fuck down kind of job and just splash all over. Yeah, and then change out of my cleaning clothes back into my costume. So
what you're saying is, at the hottest part of the day, you're in a place where you're getting cooled off with water.
Yes.
And bleach.
But again, you're getting hosed down at the hottest part of the day. And people wonder why you are okay with doing it.
Right. Like, I got to pick the time of the day because it had to work with my schedule. Sure. And I was like, well, I want to do it after parade.
Yeah.
So, like, 12:30 is pretty much you know, when I can get down there. So I'm ready by one. So let's say one. Mm-hmm. Also, that's the hottest part of the day. And fuck yes, I want to be playing with a hose at the hottest part of the day. yeah.
I just imagine you being like, I've discovered a new means of cleaning the showers, and you're just setting up like a slip and slide with a sprinkler.
I mean, we do have a very specific process for cleaning the showers.
Oh, sure.
Because the showers have to be cleaned to the state health regulations for mm-hmm. campground showers. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, we have some of the cleanest campground showers in the state of Minnesota. That yeah. said, they're still campground showers.
Yeah.
But they are probably some of the cleanest campground showers.
If you're going to be a pervert frog, go somewhere clean.
Right, yeah. No, that I mean, is why you're a pervert frog.
If you have your choice of establishments, picking the one that is run and maintained by Jenna Young is going to be right. your best bet.
Yes,
mm-hmm. So yeah, I do have campground duties during the day, but I'm there at open. By the time 7 o'clock hits, I'm done. I usually do my closing at Queensgate because it's closer to campground, and that is important for me because 7 o'clock cannon goes off. I get down to the campground. I get undressed. Hopefully, there is dinner prepared. With the lovely people that feed me. I wolf that down really quick, and by 7:55, I am in the campground offices ready for an exciting evening of whatever the fuck happens. And then campground offices are from 8 to 10
mm-hmm.
on Saturday night. So I'm working from, morning meetings at 8. So let's say I work from 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And not 2 hours. 14 hours.
Yep.
Yep, 10 p.m. So that is my day. And the first couple of weekends are hectic and crazy, and then it starts to taper off as the season goes along.
Sure.
And I can then just kind of be on call in the campground. Mm-hmm. If everything's going smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
So that working till 10 p.m., 10:30 technically, I think. No, 10, because that's just office. Anyway, working that until then doesn't necessarily mean I'm busting ass doing all of the things all the time. Mm-hmm. But it sure does the first couple of weekends.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because
and we appreciate, yeah.
Several people just got their passes earlier that day, and they need stickers.
Yep.
Second weekend, that one group came in from out of town, and they need to get set up, and a few other people got their passes, and yeah. So it becomes more of this, like, throughout the course of the season, it trickles
rolling
down.
Yeah.
That is what I do.
Well, I can tell you that while you're downstairs hosing yourself off, I'm on stage. Yeah. No, and I will admit that the Sherwood stage is one of the coolest stages on site. We're in a bit of a depression, and you can tell when you go down that hill.
The whole country's in a bit of a depression right now.
But you can tell the temperature drops as you go down into that bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's got the swamp back there, and it's got the shade, and you know, it's a noticeable drop in temperature when you get into that area.
Right.
So for that, I'm always extremely, you know, thankful that I'm lucky enough to be on that stage, but at the same time, we need it because we're playing with fire.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Literally. Yeah.
Yes, quite literally. But 12:30 is right around the time that I'm getting into the busiest part of my day. Because that's when I've got, you know, you know, mornings are usually pretty light because I'll do a show here and there, but once you get into noon and early afternoon, that's when all the special events start to fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm doing special events one after the other, with occasional stops back at my stage to do my half-hour show there. So that's when I start running a lot. So usually between, like, noon and 4:30 is where I'm just constantly running. But after that, things taper off and I'm able to relax a little bit, but
yeah,
in a normal year, that is
right.
This Friday. Year I stayed home in air conditioning and I can't say that I didn't hate it.
I didn't clean any showers the entire weekend.
It was yeah, no, it was hot and humid and gross, and I was like, I'm not sad that I'm here.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Mm-hmm.
James, what does your day look like?
Well, because my accomplices and I are a bunch of fucking idiots, we get the platform, which is a yurt made out of billboard fabric, and scrap wood. We put that together usually a week or two in advance, and then Friday night is usually spent scrambling to put the finishing touches on that. Get all of our bedding put out and all of our, you know, shelving set up and that kind of stuff. And then we'll go to booth and start getting all of the gear unpacked and ready for the morning. So Friday nights are usually pretty fucking busy for us. And then we will, once all of that is done, honestly, that first Friday, we usually spend much of that in bed, just, you know, for whatever reason, that isn't an up late night for us most of the time. And then Saturday and Sunday, of course, you know, the usual fencing booth and dad joke street shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday nights we spend sitting around drinking and talking, and, you know, that is eating huge greasy burgers.
That is honestly the one part that I really do miss a lot. Mm-hmm. is the camaraderie of the campground. And just, you know, what goes on there. I, like this off-season, I bought things for the campground.
Oh, same.
Because they would be funny for when we're hanging around the fire. And, like, they're going to have to wait another year. I'm not going to be able to have them this year and stuff.
I bought better mosquito netting for the platform.
Okay, so you bring an interesting thing up here, and I think we can probably expound on this a little bit more, but
sure.
The thing is myself and James and Jenna, we all, you know, when we're not working at the Renaissance Festival, when we're working, we are in the campground, and we're there for 7 weeks, you know? So it's not like your weekend camping where you go in with stuff on your backpack and you set up your tent and you sleep there and then you pack it all up. This is our home.
Yeah.
For 7 weeks. And I think that we bring a whole different level of the word glamping to the world.
Yeah.
And so let's discuss just a little bit about our camping situation, our tent, because like James said, my wife and I, we actually go out to the campground the weekend before Fest starts to set up our tent, and because it takes an entire day,
Yes.
To do it, because we're not just setting up a tent, we're setting up our home, you know, and, yep, right. And the area that we're in, we're not only is it just our tent, but the tents around us, we've got a little area that's got
a neighborhood.
It's got a kitchen. It's got a kitchen structure that we need to also assemble. So, you know, so we're not just putting up our tent, but we're also setting up the kitchen, which is a fantastic, mm-hmm. by the way. It's my wife's father's kitchen. And what it is, it's an 8x4 platform that has a roof, and it has, kind of an L-shaped shelf, and it has two gas burners that will... You better lean back when you light that thing, because when you light that, it goes poof.
If you weren't a fire performer before.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is fucking industrial shit, because he's, when at the end of the day, we've got 20 tired, festy mouths to feed, and he's got to get mm-hmm. the water boiling for the potatoes quick. These things, they'll do a 5 gallon, pot of water, and I'm not exaggerating, in pretty quick time.
Yeah.
But we've got to set that up, that can't stay there year round. That's got to get set up, and our tent has to get set up. So we've got the kitchen, obviously. Mm-hmm. We've got, but our tent itself, we have a box spring in there,
mm-hmm.
Because we're going to be sleeping on that bed for 7 weeks.
It has to feel good, or at least.
So we have a box spring that we put an air mattress on top of.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids sleep on cots. We have a set of dresser drawers that go out there. We have a couple chairs. We have some shelving units that go into our tent there. And everything's got its place. We've worked this out over the years. The other thing, though, is once we've got our tent set up, it's we put a tarp shell around the on top of the tent. So it's not just the tent. There's a tarp shell that protects it as well.
Yeah, some of those establishments are very complicated.
Yeah, when a storm comes through, our tent stays dry.
Yep.
So what about you guys? What kind of glamping stuff do you got going on?
I actually have, because I am the assistant campground director, I don't have a tent.
Oh.
I have a shack.
You've got the shack, yeah.
I've got the shack. In the festival campground, there is a shack that is used for storing various tools and whatnot that is necessary for upkeep in the campground around the festival, things like that, and serves other functions as well. But the shack has a loft area,
mm-hmm.
and that loft area is where I stay during the run.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice. I have electricity because it is a shack, mm-hmm. right? And electricity mm-hmm. is necessary for this thing. So I do get to have electricity, which is great for both hot and cold days. Mm-hmm. And I can share my phone's charged. I also have some LED lights that go along the inside of the roof mm-hmm. of the shack so mm-hmm. that I don't hit my head. And I do have, Jacques looks at me funny every year when I do this, but I do get my super cot of doom up there. This thing is heavy as fuck, you guys, and it is capable mm-hmm. of holding both myself and, back in the day, Bill Young. Like, that cot held almost 500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. So, it is a good sized cot that mm-hmm. I layer with foam and other items to make as bed-like as possible. But that is, and then I have, I'm a huge fan of plastic bins. Plastic bins for everything.
Yep.
And I kind of have to have plastic bins because One of the differences between being in the shack and being outside is that you can get a lot of critters in the shack.
Yeah, yeah.
You are much more likely to get critters.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where they live the other 10 months out of the year. So
right.
Plastic bins, like when I am done with a weekend, everything goes into those plastic bins.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have a little light stand set up. I've got the other thing that's nice about being the assistant campground director is that I get a campground parking pass.
Nice.
So anything that is food related, I just keep in my car.
Oh yeah.
Because that's the safest place for it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I may get more critters mm-hmm. in yeah. my shack, which
squirrels
is not what I want.
And raccoons and
the mm-hmm. opposite of what you want. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it's pretty nice. The shack has a lock on it, so when I go out and about, like, I've got a locked shack.
Yeah.
Also, when it rains, when we get storms, most of the time it's fine. But every once in a while, we get something super windy, and I'm like, am I going to blow out?
That shack is going to outlive the rest of Festival.
Is the shack going to blow down? I don't think the shack's going to blow down. But sometimes I get a little, just a little edgy about it, because, like, you can feel it just a little bit.
So when I was growing up, one of our neighbors had a shack that was attached to a tree by a cable, and this mm-hmm. shack was at a rather funky angle. The only thing holding this thing up was the tree. And God. One day, our neighbor decided to just clear the shack, knock it down, get rid of it, because it was...
Mm-hmm.
And he cut that cable, and the tree fell over.
Oh, my God! Oh,
yeah.
That's hilarious.
The tree had actually rotted through at the base, and nobody realized it, but the shack itself was actually holding the tree.
Oh my
but
God!
That shack is like Jacques. It's gonna it's old and craggy, but gonna live forever.
Yeah, no, the shack will outlive us all.
Do you know who actually cleaned out that shack so it was usable?
Which time?
This guy.
The shack's been cleaned out many times.
Yes,
but yeah.
Yes, it has. No, the previous...
Yeah, which time did you clean it out?
Close to 10 years ago now. The previous assistant campground director went to Jack and said, hey, can I use the shack as my camping space? And Jacques looked at her like, you want to do what now?
Right.
But he was like, I mean, I guess if you want to clean it out, go ahead. And so we did. We took everything out of that shack and we cleaned it up. I don't know, does the shack still have the plastic in the rafters? We put that in.
Although it got replasticed.
Oh, okay.
Replastic.
We put the original plastic in.
Nice.
But
the hipster plastic.
Before I moved in there, because there were a few years without an assistant campground director.
Yep. It probably got, yeah.
So yeah, before I moved in, Jacques and Vicky went up there and got things cleaned up and replasticed and all of that. But yeah. The other very, very important thing that I have that I've always had, whether I was in a tent mm-hmm. or in the shack, is I have a rug.
Oh, sure.
That is one of the most important things to me.
Yeah.
Especially
because,
toward the end of the run.
Yeah. Well, it's important to me for foot purposes. There is something about being able to step onto a carpet level rug that is just decadent.
Yeah.
It
sure.
just is.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up in the morning is a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. Getting done with your day is a little bit easier. and a little bit easier that many times throughout the course of that 7 weeks adds up.
Ooh, yeah.
What about you, James?
So the platform is like a whale carcass. The planet, it smells about the same.
Yes.
We call it the funk that just exists in there.
You inherited that platform that way.
Sort of, yeah. I think it was originally Mavs. And something is happening. Jenna says, God damn it, Bryn.
Is so Naked Time happening?
What?
Yes.
No, I said, God damn it, Mav.
Oh, God damn it, Mav. Oh, no, okay. I can't hear anything.
Naked Time was happening. He lost his functions.
Okay, so... The platform originally belonged to, I believe, Mav, although historically my job in retelling stories is to get them slightly wrong. And... So Cole and Rue inherited it and have been making the appropriately minor adjustments to it since then. One, because originally it was just designed to support, like the rib cage of the whale was designed to support a tarp that would protect the tent inside it. But instead of that, they bought some billboard fabric, two full billboards worth of billboard fabric, and decided that made an absolutely perfect wrap for a yurt. And so every season we go out there and put all of that together, and then the plywood base of the platform is when we go to move in, we have instead of carpeting, which would get disgusting really fast for us because we're gross, we have those interlocking foam plates.
Oh yeah,
that, like the human combat chessboard is made of, and so we put all of that stuff in there once the platform is dry, and I have a cot because I like to store things under it, and because I like the support of it, and because I fucking hate air mattresses to death on fire.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about my particular height and build, but I always end up in it like a hammock, and if I have a guest sleeping with me, they are intensely uncomfortable. And despite the fact that they love their queen-size air mattresses, both Cole and Rue find that those air mattresses betray them every season, and we spend an evening hunting down where the pinhole leak is slowly deflating.
Well, don't wear your spurs to bed, for fuck's sake.
Well, that's a great idea.
Those spurs are very important.
Also that. Extremely important fencing equipment. But we've got everything kind of, where we like it. We've got hooks in the rafters that we hang our belts on. Mm-hmm. They're just, where it is without looking. I purchased some remote control battery powered lights that we use to light the interior.
Mm-hmm.
We have our little phone charging battery station and all of that stuff. Like, it's not the world's most glamorous thing, but especially once it starts to get like bitterly cold, it is fucking awesome. But we also have to put mosquito netting and that kind of stuff inside because it's not zippered like a tent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bit of an equally delicate process.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the platform. It's just a flap and some netting and then, our various locked containers and stuff.
Sure, sure. Cool. Anybody have anything else to mention about opening weekend of Fest and not being there?
Yes. Because I did miss the socialization so much, we decided to have an after-hours booth night with booth and booth-adjacent folks on Zoom telling stories, and I ordered a couple of extremely greasy bacon cheeseburgers to get as close to the, you know, the world BLT. Famous Blit burgers, yeah, as I could. And
so you went
and we just
White
relaxed
Castle.
And we drank and told stories.
Sounds
boy,
good.
Howdy, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
For those of us that stayed up past midnight, we did online yoga too. It was very
yeah, morning meeting.
Morning meeting.
Is important.
It's very important. Gotta stretch.
Yep. Saves your life.
Yeah, it do.
Well, should we take a break?
I'm good with
yeah.
that.
All right.
Let's do.
We'll take another break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm
no
Salsa.
I'm James.
Oh, I'm Jenna.
And we're going to do a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
And when I say fast and five, I mean a really slow 12. Because today's
Mav,
fast
you make
five comes
Mav.
From Mav.
Yes! Oh,
speak of the
God.
Devil, and Mav appears.
Yeah.
I think if I ever have to cast a play that has the devil in it, Mav might be my choice.
So I'm going to open the first of 12 emails.
Fuck's sake. Wait, do we have a sound for each email?
We'll find out. I haven't
All right.
read
No,
them.
The sounds are for the dings.
No, the dings are for the questions.
I haven't. We'll find out together, James. Jeez, don't get ahead
okay.
of things,
okay?
Okay.
Questions are for the choices.
Dave says, greetings, friends, apropostors, and of course, James. It has been quite some time since I last spoke with any of you. I hope this series of emails finds you in good health. I honestly don't remember how many emails I'm required to be sending in anymore, so I will just pick a number at random and go with that one. Love you, Salsa. Without further ado, let's dive in right now, shall we? Question number one, green or red?
Oh.
Did he specifically put the ding at the end?
No, that was I got excited. Number one. Green or red?
Red.
Red. I tend to like red flavors better than green flavors.
I'm going to go with green.
I feel like red you can coordinate in black neutrals as easily
okay.
as you can coordinate in brown neutrals.
Huh. Oh, I'm going to change my answer. I think I actually like green flavors better. Green.
Okay. Question number two.
Yeah.
There you go.
Open or enclosed?
Oh, huh.
Is enclosed anything like NSYNC?
enclosed.
Oh, enclosed.
Yes, not closed, enclosed.
Yeah.
I heard the letter N apostrophe sure. closed. That's not, yeah. but it's E-N.
Yes, like the check has been enclosed in the envelope.
Okay.
I'm going to go with open.
I'm going to go with enclosed for a screen porch.
Ooh.
Mm. Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's a
breezeway.
Mm-hmm. If it's a porch, I'm probably going to have to go with open.
Oh.
It's because I like to smoke on a porch where there is no rain, mm-hmm. but I also don't want mm-hmm. the smoke getting trapped anywhere, so I want it open.
All right.
Okay. Question number three. Mm-hmm. Steady or hard? I'm going to go steady on this one.
I'm also going to go with steady. I don't always like, I'm not always in the mood for the hard fucking, but I'm, I am in the mood for steady fucking.
I think, I think it's going to be, when you, drive a nail into something.
Oh.
Do you give it slow, steady taps consistently or just a couple of big hard whacks? And I know how to whack a nail, so I'm going hard.
Okay. Question number four. Wall or breeze?
Wall or breeze?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go wall.
I'm going to go breeze. I kind of like James's porch thing before. I would like the air to be able to flow through the porch as opposed to being a wall.
I do love air conditioning, but I also love having the windows open and like the screens there when there's a rainstorm outside. Ooh. Yeah, like sitting in a screen porch during a thunderstorm is the fucking best.
I'm just going with wall because that's what my gut says I want to answer.
All right.
Okay. Question number five. Pinch or guess?
Say that again?
Pinch or guess?
So not guessed.
No.
But guess. Okay. Mm-hmm.
G-U-E-S-S.
Got it. I guess I'm going to go with pinch.
In a pinch, I'll go with guess.
Ugh.
Good luck, James.
Yeah. in figuring out where someone's nipples are, I think it is more appropriate to guess, but it is more fun to pinch.
Do you not know where they are?
Well, it's directly south of the earlobes, but...
Usually.
Most of the time.
I think it depends on whose nipples.
It does. Tara Reed's are in different counties. But, okay. No, I I'm gonna go with pinch.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe's nipples are surprisingly spaced out.
They are.
Right?
Huh.
I like them.
Yeah, they have they go to different voting offices.
Actually.
Okay. We're going to open
gerrymandering
up
gerrymandering at its finest.
Now it is time to open up Mav 5 number 2.
Oh, God.
This pleases me greatly.
Mav says, again, not knowing how many emails or what format, I figured I'd try to cover as many bases as I can. Question one, red or green?
Yeah.
I'm opening up the third email.
Oh, God.
I said red.
Mav says, this is a work in progress, so bear with me. Number two, opener and closed. I'm opening up the next email.
God.
Mav says, so far, I think this is going quite well. What do you guys think?
It's great.
Question number three, steady or hard? Opening up the next email.
Sure.
Mav says, greetings, friends, apropostors, and of course, James.
Good.
We are almost to the end of the question phase. I think the context portion will be a bit more difficult to get through. Question number four, wall or breeze?
Uh-huh.
Next email. Email number six. Mav says, okay, I think this should wrap it up for the question portion. Shall we give the context portion a shot? I think we should. Stay tuned. Question number five, pinch or guess?
Oh, my God.
I'm opening up the seventh email.
So happy right now.
Mav says, we have arrived at the context portion of the show. On behalf of the AON podcast, I would like to thank you all for staying with us as we annoy the ever-loving shit out of Salsa. Question number one, green or red? Oh, come on. How could I possibly send in a Fast Five without picking on Salsa? You all know me by now. Use a sliding scale of 1 to James. Which tastes better grilled? A red pepper or a green pepper?
Ooh.
Oh.
James.
No, James. Using a sliding scale of 1 to James, what tastes better?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say the red pepper is a solid 6, but the green pepper is right up there at a 9.
I'm
going to say green is actually closer to 7.5, 8 for me.
Fair enough.
But I think red is a 6. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say I prefer the sweetness of the red. So I would put green at like a 7 and the red at like an 8 out of James.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a huge grilled pepper person, honestly. Uh-huh. But green over red.
Mm-hmm. All right. I am opening up email number 8. Question number 2, open or enclosed. During these hot and incredibly humid summer days, what feels better, swimming in a wide open lake or a private enclosed pool? Well, the lake.
I'm not much of a swimmer in general. And I'm not really a lake swimmer at all. Mm. I don't like things in the water hanging out with me. So I'm going to go with enclosed pool.
Okay. I'm going to go with lake because you can swim in it and you can kayak. You can
like doing both things on a lake. Yeah. But the
it
question
specifically
was
says swimming.
Right. Yeah. But if I'm enjoying swimming in a lake, there is also the possibility of doing those other things.
But that is,
or people that
is
that I'm
outside
with.
Of the bounds of the question, James.
It's not.
It is.
It is.
Specifically says swimming in an open lake.
Right. And what I'm saying is swimming in the open lake is what I choose. Because then later.
Okay, but see, I enjoy those other things. But those other things weren't included in my options. My options were swim in a lake or swim in an enclosed pool. Between those two options, I would choose swim in an enclosed pool. If my option was boating, then I would choose lake.
I'm not choosing boating.
But
I'm choosing swimming in a lake.
It specifically says what feels better. Swimming does not feel better because you do other things later.
Ah.
That.
Okay. All right. All right.
Wait, James, the point is you're wrong.
You're wrong,
well,
James.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm changing to private and closed pool, by the way.
Obvious. I'm going to choose lake because the best swimming I've experienced has been in Lake Superior.
Okay, so you didn't need the other stuff that we just debated.
But this is James we're talking about.
I know.
Has a way of making the simplest thing as complicated as humanly possible for her own...
I am well aware.
It's a ramp.
Question number... I'm sorry. Email number 9.
Oh, God.
Mav says, phew, this is a lot of emails.
I'm so happy right now.
Question number 3, steady or hard? Damn it, James, this is not a bedroom question.
What? James wasn't the one giggling.
No, but he was the one who meant his answer was all about fucking.
That's true.
You prefer the soft, steady rainy days, or do you prefer the hard-hitting stormy days?
Stormy days.
Storm.
Hard. I was wrong.
Stormy days.
It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm playing out at Fest, a nice soft drizzle, where I feel like I can still be out in the drizzle entertaining patrons, as opposed to where it gets pelting hard and I'm like, I've got to start thinking about my own health. However, if I'm trying to go to sleep, I want that hard rain. I want that hard, hard rain. That hard, wet rain. Just pounding on my bedroom window.
Because of the risk of rust, if there's even a tiny bit of rain, I really can't do my show.
Sure.
So if it's gonna rain, fucking pound me.
Oh, all right.
Not about sex, James.
At some point, the more it rains, like the stormier it is, the more being out in the rain becomes the entertainment. You know, like walking up in the mud, you know, ankle deep in the water, and gently pouring out one of your boots in front of patrons. That becomes the game. And
what patrons
Okay
are left?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and you know that the patrons that are still there are the ones who
That's absolutely what I mean. The patrons that are left, those, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here I am opening up email number 10.
Oh, God. Yes.
And Mav says, ooh, almost done. Question number 4, wall or breeze? Make no mistake, the hot days around here can get downright unbearable. Do you prefer sitting around with an AC where the cool air comes out of the wall or window unit, or do you like it better with a fan blasting the air right on you? I gotta change the wall.
I gotta change the wall.
Wait, say that again? I think I missed a word in there. It may have been my audio.
Make no mistake, the hot days around here can get quite unbearable. Do you prefer sitting around with an AC where the cool air comes out of the wall or window unit? Or do you like it better with a fan blasting the air right on you?
I'm going to have to go with the AC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like having breeze.
Do you not?
I do not. I don't like driving around in a convertible. I don't like having the windows roll down when I'm driving.
I hate that too, but it's because of my hair.
My hair
gets in my face and stuff. I hate that.
No, yeah. No, it's not just the hair. It is the actual breeze on me. I don't like having a fan blowing on me. Mm. I don't like when the air conditioning output is pointed at me.
Interesting.
I always sleep with at least a sheet because I don't like the feel of air on my skin when I'm trying to sleep. I don't like it. Yeah, bugs me.
No, that's fair. I do enjoy having the bedroom fan on
at bedtime. I don't mind a fan. And it did provide me the opportunity for what I think is an extremely funny joke.
Did you fart into it?
Probably at some point, but no, in this case it was that I was just about to go to sleep next to one of my partners, and I said, I'm really warm, and she said, do you want me to turn the fan up? And I said, no, I can hear it.
Okay.
So for that reason alone.
So where's the funny one?
I'm going to go with Breeze in that case.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to open up email 11.
Yes.
Mav says, dear friends, we have arrived at the final question. The last in a long list of annoyance designed specifically to make that vein pop out on Salsa's forehead. You all know the one. And if you don't, maybe James or Jenna can take a quick picture and put it up on the site for us. Question number 5. Pinch or guess. Do you enjoy cooking? I know I do, especially when someone else does it for me. When you are... When you are cooking and the recipe calls for seasoning, do you tend to be more of the give it a pinch of salt kind of person, or are you more of the let's just start dumping this in here and take a wild guess at when to stop?
Yeah, I'm much more of a guesser. I don't really measure my seasonings.
I think I could go with guess as well.
Yeah, I just kind of go
I mean, like any good cook, I taste a lot while I'm cooking, so
I also taste a lot too. But yeah. Most of my measurements are in like if I'm baking something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, if I'm baking everything is very, very specific, but
cooking, regimented.
Yeah,
but cooking, yeah, I know what spice palette I like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know basically how strong a lot of spices are, having used them many times, so.
Right. I have located a paprika that is new to me, by the way.
Oh.
It is a Hungarian paprika.
Yeah, Hungarian paprika is fantastic.
Hungarian hot.
Mm-hmm.
I had not known about its existence until recently.
Oh, I do not. Oh, yeah. No.
No.
When...
No, I've known about smoky, sweet, just paprika.
Yeah.
Like the basic stuff that you use for everything. And yeah, the Hungarian hot is new to me, and I'm in love with it, especially with my kielbasa sausages.
Yeah.
When my sister-in-law was studying in Budapest, one of the gifts that she brought back was paprika from Hungary.
Okay.
Two sachets, one of the hot and one of the sweet. And they're just, they're so good.
Yeah.
I still feel like one of the best gifts that you can get somebody is a Penzi's Spices gift certificate.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Mav wraps this up by saying, well, that's all I have for you, my friends. Or maybe not. Could there possibly be another email? I think there might be. You should probably check. I'll wait. And I am opening up the 12th email.
And it, Mav says...
On the 12th, Mav's email.
Yes, we have finally reached the end of this wonderful journey. Thank you for joining me as we attempted to crawl under Sulce's skin. I have no doubt that karma will eventually catch up to me. It usually does. Nevertheless, I miss you all. Thank you for making this podcast part of my weekly routine. It is nice to still have at least some piece of normalcy in my life. How dare you, sir, call us normal?
Right, well...
We continue. Take care of yourselves, stay safe, stay healthy, love to all, and hopefully see you all soon. Signed, Mav the Annoyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
A title bestowed on him by the Queen of France.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two fucking emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain the five choices, and the second one should repeat those choices and then give us the context. Who has a shout out?
I have a shout out. Hold on. I pulled it up specifically so that I would know what I was talking about. I would like to give a shout out to Lake Street Tire. As mentioned earlier in the podcast, this is the location that Bryn brought her vehicle to and got an outstanding deal on. I have brought my vehicle to them twice now. And Joe has been going to them since he moved into his current place about 10 years ago. It is located on Lake Street. When everything burned down, they were left with like a little bit of graffiti. They were basically untouched. Cause everybody knows and loves Lake Street Tire. They're an auto repair shop. So it's not just tires, but they also do tires. Located at, I had the address up and then it went away, 610 East Lake Street in South Minneapolis. I'm bringing my car there tomorrow, but, the last time they went in, they were like, okay, well, we'll let you know in a couple of hours. And like literally an hour later, they're like, we're done. I was like, oh, well, shit, never Jeez. Mind. And yeah. As stated previously, they are really cheap. They're very not cheap, but they are reasonable. They're very reasonable. They will tell you if something actually needs to be replaced, or if it's just a recommendation, or even if it's just an option. Like, hey, noticed your filter's getting a little dingy. You could wait a bit. You could replace it now. It's totally up to you. They're absolutely fantastic, and I highly recommend them to everyone. It's nice. Kind of like a plug, but it's definitely a shout out to a place that I don't feel like they talk down to me because I'm a chick. So a nice. Shout out to that.
Cool. James?
Awesome. My shout out is to Jenna. I know.
Confused.
But my shout out is to Jenna for not only supplying the Windex that kept me safe while I was battling wasps, but also providing us the time and encouragement that we so desperately needed, and also the jump start that we required in order to get Bryn's vehicle rehabilitated.
I accept this shout-out, and you're welcome.
All right.
Awesome.
Yep. I am going to give my shout-out to a place called the Modern Vaudeville Press. There is entertainer that I know. He's a juggler, a sideshow performer. He used to work for Cirque du Soleil. He is... not only a fantastic performer, but he is also an author of some really interesting books. And he has a new book coming out. And I encourage everybody to check that out. So he's got one book that's already out that I think looks fantastic, and it's called Juggling from Antiquity to the Middle Ages. And that
ticks the boxes of both history and juggling for me. But he's but he's got a new book coming out that comes out in stores on Monday, not this Monday, but next week Monday, called Juggling: What It Is and How to Do It. And you should probably go pre-order that. I believe the website is modernvaudevillepress.com, but I need to double-check that. But that's my shout-out there.
Nice.
To him and his fantastic books.
Very good.
Nice.
And then I have a plug when we're ready.
Yes, it is. Yeah, modernvaudevillepress.com.
Nice.
Love it.
There's some other books on there from other people, too. But, yeah. Anyway.
Ooh.
Go ahead.
This Friday, Vilification Tennis on a Stick. Vilification Tennis does the state fair.
Mm. All of it? God damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you won't get it anywhere else this year. You might as well take it from us.
Okay.
10 p.m. Available online, YouTube, and Facebook, and perhaps other places. Go to vilificationtennis.com in order to find out more.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything to plug.
Cool. Is there anything else by anyone? Any last notes?
Yes, I would like to say bye bye. I love you. Bye bye bye.
Cool. All right. If that is the case, then thank you everybody for listening to this podcast. Thank you, Mav.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy. I'm so. You make me a lot happy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mav. Or should I say, thanks for the Fast Five. on behalf of
the Meandering 12.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.